What up, son? It's the tale of the tapes. The fuck life. Saying? All right, here we go. Season 3 is rolling. So, this is Season 3, Episode 10. And on today's episode, we'll be covering Necro and Remedy. So let me say this right off the bat. Today is probably going to be one of the most adamant you're going to see me when it comes to my opinion on someone. But before we even get into that, let me comment on another insane quote-unquote coincidence that we have here today on Tale of the Tapes. So last week during the outro, when I told you guys that this week we'd be covering Necro and Remedy, and I stated that these two basically couldn't be more polar opposite of each other. Remedy seems to be more like religious and level-headed, whereas Necro basically just wants to gut and kill everyone, apparently, or so he says. What makes all of this even more ironic is that they're both white Jewish rappers from New York City. I mean, seriously, how many white Jewish rappers from New York City will we cover in this study realistically? 5, 10 max? And that's me being extremely generous, assuming that there's more coming in the future. I mean, you're talking about 450 plus people here. These two got to be on the same exact episode. And it's not even like we're covering 10 or 20 people per episode. There's only two people on an episode usually, and these two landed right on the same episode with each other. I'm sorry, man, but that's nuts to me. But anyway, let my rant commence now. So, allow me to start off with Necro. For those of you who don't know who Necro is by chance, he's an underground rapper, and I absolutely hate this dude and everything he stands for as an artist and a person. I honestly could go on forever about this. I hate his voice. I hate his delivery. I hate his content. I hate his style. Just everything about this dude. Now, when I go through these people's catalogs and have to listen to 200 plus songs of these people, I don't have the option to involve these thoughts and feelings and opinions in what I'm doing. Typically, they aren't as strong as this one, but I hated Necro prior to starting this study. And an actual real life side note I want to throw in here. When I was probably about like 14 years old and I came across Necro by accident on Napster, this was just back when, you know, Napster was new, and I had just gotten into like underground hip hop and all that type of shit. I had just started listening to like Nonfiction, which is Ill Bills and Nonfiction, who's Necro's brother, and yada yada. We're gonna get into all that shit later, but I'm just trying to paint a picture of, you know, me being a 14-year-old kid having a new platform that just came out where it's the first time ever in history that people could just fucking type in a song name and find the song and don't have to buy it or whatever. It's just, here it is. You want any fucking song in the world you could think of, probably just type it in. You could listen to it, download it right here. It's yours to keep forever. Granted, at that time, it wasn't technically legal, but it was a fucking gold mine and a jackpot for anybody like myself who loved any kind of music. It didn't just have to do with hip hop. But anyway, the point of this story is that I remember actually going out of my way to tell my mom this story about how there was this mentally retarded person who rapped. And I'm not even saying this shit to be like funny or derogatory to anybody, but ironically enough, the funniest shit about this story is that I wasn't trying to be funny at all. I genuinely, as a 14-year-old kid, I thought that this dude was mentally handicapped, and it wasn't even just as simple as that. I thought that this was just like public knowledge. Like, I didn't think that I was just assuming this or whatever. I basically almost thought this was like his gimmick, so to speak. You know, kind of the way that like Blind Fury stirred up some attention with being a blind rapper. I don't know if anybody remembers Blind Fury from 106 and Park Freestyle Friday. They used to have the battles. It was this blind dude. And he was nice, but I'm sure the fact that he was blind and it was so unique and stuff like that, you know, it probably catapulted him a little bit. I genuinely thought that this dude was mentally retarded, and that was why people were giving him the attention that he was getting. Obviously, as time went on, I realized that he wasn't, or so they say. But yeah, like I said, I hated this guy prior to this study, and I hated every second of listening to him when I did do him in the study, with the partial exception of one song. And to be honest with you, I'm still not 100% convinced that this dude isn't in some way, shape, or form mentally disabled. I have so much more to say on this dude, but I do want to save some of it for later when we discuss him more in depth. But I did want to just, I want to be very clear and transparent about why I'm saying this stuff. I'm saying how much, you know, just how much I genuinely despise this dude, and I'm being so clear and transparent about it because I want you guys to understand, and this is basically the reason, other than, you know, me being a human being and I would like to voice my opinion, other than that, this is basically the reason why I state my opinion in the beginning, so I can keep showing you over and over again. Yeah, sometimes I love somebody and they finish really high. Sometimes I hate somebody and they finish really low. It happens. But there are times that I love people and they finish at the bottom. There are times that I hate people and they finish at the top, because I'm not judging anybody off of preferences or biases or what I love or what I listen to or anything like that. So, yeah, that's that. But as far as where I expected him to finish, I'm not going to lie. I'll say somewhere around the upper middle. So if I've gone through 222 artists so far, I'd say I expected him to finish somewhere between 75 and 100, but, you know, probably closer to that 100 mark, like maybe somewhere between 85 and 100 or 90 and 100. The reasoning behind this is because although I probably only heard two songs of his my entire life prior to covering him here, and as much as I absolutely hated him and the songs that I heard, I could tell that he was at the very least decent as far as skills was concerned. And I also figured he was pretty original because he, you know, he didn't sound like anybody else I ever heard before. So I thought maybe those two things would carry him to just inside that top half, even though I would love to see him finish in 224th here today for sure. Fuck's sake, man. Anyway, enough of that rant, because trust me, we'll have plenty to discuss when we get into him, and we will come back to all that. But let me talk about Remedy for a second here. So Remedy is a Wu-Tang affiliate from Staten Island, for those who aren't familiar with the name, and I'm actually really good friends with somebody who was involved in him in some way, shape, or form. No real connection, don't know him like that, never met him or anything, and to be honest with you, only ever heard one of his songs, and the way that happened was, I can't remember which Wu-Tang album it was specifically, but I definitely remember buying a Wu-Tang CD and it having a bonus disc or something, or a bonus song or something like that with a Remedy song on it. Now, I was young at the time and can't say I really paid attention to technicalities back then, but I definitely remember liking the song. But again, this is back before the way that we have access to songs like I do now. I couldn't just go on the internet and type in Remedy and find his entire discography and order it. Not saying I would have done that, but in that era, I just never heard his name again, and that was all I knew of him. To be honest, I can't say I expected him to finish too high. I mean, he didn't have much material as far as I knew, and to be affiliated with Wu-Tang at that time and never blow up seemed like a red flag to me. So I guess maybe like bottom third, I'll say. But anyway, enough of my useless opinions. Let's get into the real shit. Let's get into the facts and information on these two. So today marks the first day that we leave the year 2000 and enter a new calendar year of 2001 here. And geez, there was a lot of artists in the year 2000, man. And I believe there's a bunch more in 01, but I have a hunch that these numbers will start to die down somewhere around 07 to 2012, but nonetheless, Remedy had his debut album out in 2001. Necro's was out first at the end of 2000, so we're going to start off with Necro here today. His birth name is Ron Raphael Bernstein, born June 7th, 1976 in New York City, United States. His genres are listed as hip-hop, horrorcore, rap, metal, hardcore hip-hop, gangster rap, death metal, and death rap. And his years active are listed as 1987 to present. So lately I've felt like very repetitive saying that there's nothing out of the ordinary here and we're going to just hop right into some background info, but today there is a couple of things that stand out to me immediately here with the information we just got on Necro. So first of all, his genres listed are certainly not only not the norm for people in this study, but could possibly be the only one to have death metal and stuff like that listed in his genres, which, for the record, is without a doubt warranted. He definitely had some songs and even albums with live bands playing instruments and singing or screaming on the hooks, you know, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, man, definitely an interesting blend of genres listed there, to say the least. And also, another thing that stood out to me right away was that his birthday is listed as 1976, and his years active are listed as 1987 to present. That would make him 11 years old, and his debut album didn't drop until 2000, when he was probably around 24 years old. So I'm not 100% sure what's up with that, but let's dig a little deeper and see what else we could find on Necro here. Ron Raphael Bronstein, born June 7th, 1976, better known by his stage name Necro, is an American rapper from Brooklyn, New York City. He is the owner of Psychological Records, founded November of 1999. He is also the younger brother of rapper Ill Bill. So, little to no new information there on Necro, although we do see that he is the younger brother of rapper Ill Bill, which I kind of touched on earlier, and for the record, he did make the cut in this study and will be covered in the not-too-far future. So, I did know that Necro was Ill Bill's brother before getting up to Necro in this study, but I realistically probably didn't find it out until like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I knew of Necro, you know, way back in whatever, he came out in 2000. That was probably when I found out about Necro. Now, since it had him listed as starting his music career at the age of 11, I looked a bit deeper into this, and this is what I found. Necro was born in Brooklyn, New York City, and grew up in the Glenwood houses, where he lived for 8 years from about 6 years to age 14 when he moved to Canarsie, Brooklyn. When he was in high school, he was popular among the hip-hop fans that went to his school until he got kicked out for fighting in the 10th grade and sold drugs to make money. He constantly read books. He began his musical career at 11, playing in a death metal band named Injustice. He made a transition from heavy metal to hip-hop. In 1988, he started rapping after being influenced by his older brother, rapper Ill Bill. Necro derived his stage name from the Slayer song Necrophiliac. Before that, he called himself Mad Mooney, which was a character from a Clive Barker book. He made his first demo in about 1990 and won a demo battle contest on the Stretch Armstrong and Bobito show on WKCR-FM. In about 1993, Necro started rapping full-time and made a demo called Do the Charles Manson. While not all of that info was necessary, I did think it was relevant enough in some ways, so allow me to explain. First and foremost, we do see that the years active were 100% accurate, as Necro was actually in a death metal band at 11 years old. That seems a bit odd to me, but moving right along from the bad parenting speech, we also see that he got his name from a Slayer song and started rapping basically because of his older brother, Ill Bill. The only other thing I find a bit interesting here is that it appears he not only started rapping and made a demo in 1990, but actually won a demo contest and then years later was just putting out more demos and didn't drop an album until 2000. So definitely what seems like a long, hard road there for Necro, so as much as I dislike the dude, I will give credit where it's due, so props to him on that. And with all that sorted out, let's get into my breakdown on Necro. Let me start off by saying that Necro was one of the most unenjoyable artists I've listened to date. That, however, is an opinion and does not change the fact that Necro was a good lyricist. He was a bit all over the place lyrically, but he was impressive with using different rhyme schemes and multisyllabic rhymes, although the syllables weren't necessarily always in the right places. On top of this, he had plenty of run-on bars, shortcuts, times he didn't rhyme, and plenty of missed opportunities. He had some great wordplay and was able to rhyme a lot of words per bar, but often had mishaps in the middle of these scenarios or just threw random words together that didn't make much sense or have anything to do with each other. It seemed as if he would say anything to make syllables rhyme or use rhyme schemes as opposed to actually being concerned with the words he was saying or the point of his bar. On top of that, he tended to lose his flow a bit at times, and a good portion of his catalog seemed like parodies. He was, however, great at being able to keep a topic throughout an entire song, and even though that was the same subject matter 99% of the time with him, the few times he did rap about something else, he didn't lose topic. At the end of the day, the good outweighed the bad, and he finished as a good lyricist overall. Necro qualified 9 albums for scoring, 8 solo and 1 as the Godfathers with Kool G Rap. 6 of his 8 solo albums were great, with the remaining 2 being good, and the collaboration album with Kool G Rap was a classic. Of his 158 total registered songs, 14 were great, none were weak, and another 90 were good. That makes just about 2/3 of Necro's material good or better, which is a very solid stat. While Necro has created a decent buzz in the underground and influenced the likes of Nas and Eminem, he doesn't have much else going for him in the impact department. Necro was, without a doubt, one of a kind when it came to originality and took psychopathic horrorcore hip-hop to an entirely new level. While his image wasn't overly original, just about everything else about him was, from his flow, voice, and delivery to his song topics and content. So, again, let's pay attention to how much I dislike this dude and how I hated every single one of his songs aside from one of them. If I hated them all aside from one, why didn't he get 157 zeros? How did I score him with 14 great songs and another 90 good ones if I hated all of them? Because we are in no way, shape, or form going by what I like or dislike or prefer or whatever. There is a mathematical system, and it's the exact same system for every single person. The bars, the songs, the albums, yada, they're all run through this system, and these are the scores that we get whether me and you like them or not. But speaking of the numbers, let's get into the math here for Necro and see where he actually winds up, because even though I hate him, it sounded like a pretty strong write-up for Necro, unfortunately for me. So lyrics, he gets a 7. Like I said, you know, it just is what it is. Necro was a good lyricist, and I want to point out something positive here, unfortunately. If you could see me, I got my eyes shut and I'm shaking my head because it fucking irks me even saying this shit. But it's even all the more impressive that Necro got a 7, because I'm telling you, bro, like, a lot of his shit was really littered a lot with run-on bars and shortcuts and just bars that didn't make sense or just, you know, missed opportunities and things where it was like, okay, no, this dude is nice. Like, he's doing these rhyme schemes. He's rhyming a lot of syllables. He's rhyming a lot of words per bar. Like, he's nice. He could rap, but he's not, like, nailing all these things perfectly. Not all the syllables are in the right spot, or not all the rhymes are in the right places to correlate with this rhyme scheme that he's trying to do. And it was just these little things that were off. And I mean, to have 158 songs like that, and to that consistently be off and still score a fucking 7 lyrically, especially when I fucking hate this dude, it was something I couldn't deny, bro. I mean, Necro was a good lyricist. It just is what it is. And even though I fucking hate him, it doesn't take away from the fact that he's good. So he gets a 7 there in the lyrics department. Albums, he gets a 5.87 with one classic. And again, man, it just is what it is. I mean, that's a great album score. And it's not like Necro had an overabundance of material. Like, he didn't have 25 fucking albums or anything like that. But we're not talking about one or two albums here, which even still, to have a great album score, it's like, all right, man, you probably never put out anything that was other than great. Technically, Necro did. He did have, I believe it was one or two albums. Two of his solo albums were good. The rest were great. And the collaboration with Kool G Rap was a classic. So that's really, really solid stuff there. That led him to having a great album score of a 5.87. And the point that I was trying to make before about how many albums he has is that he had 9 albums. So again, it's not one or two albums. So to have a great album score like that through 9 albums, it's really impressive stuff. And then on top of that, he did, you know, get the extra point for registering the classic album. Now, again, I'm always going to do this. When someone has solo material and none of it is, technically speaking, classic, and then they have something in conjunction with somebody else, whether it's a group or another artist or whatever, and that is classic material, I have to point that fact out. And I'm not trying to stir anything up or say anything officially, but I do have to point out that that is a fact. He didn't have any classics, technically speaking, on his own, but he did have one with somebody else. So, you know, take it how you want it. You can come to your own conclusions that you're more than welcome to. And whatever conclusion you come to really isn't going to have much bearing in this study at all, because the math is what it is. So have your opinion on why the only classic for Necro was in conjunction with Kool G Rap. And that could be your opinion, and you can keep it, and you can love it, and you can hold on to it. But like I said, the math is what it is. So songs, he gets a plus 0.89. Like I said, 158 songs there for Necro, 14 great songs, no weak songs. So that came to 8.9% of his material. You slide the decimal point over one spot, and that gives you a plus 0.89. So not quite a full point there for Necro, but almost a full point. So it's been nothing but solid stuff up to this point for Necro here, at least mathematically speaking. Impact, he gets just below average score of 4.5. And this is typical for somebody that is without a doubt 100% an underground rapper who never really had an abundance of any type of major album sales or any sort of commercial or mainstream type of success. Strictly an underground dude that really didn't, you know, I don't even want to say out of all the underground dudes that Necro is like the best selling or anything like that. So, you know, just nothing really special there as far as that. But Necro does have a pretty decent following, and I knew who Necro was and shit like that. And you know, he did an album with Kool G Rap. He did put out 9 albums and stuff like that. So it's not like I'm trying to discredit Necro or just sweep him under the rug and act like nobody knows who Necro is. So while it is a below average score of a 4.5, it's just below. And sure, there's something that Necro could do to change that to a 5, possibly even a 5.5. Does he do it? I have no idea. It's not up to me. It's up to Necro. We'll see going forward. We got quite some time left in this podcast, so Necro certainly has a fair amount of time to change any of these scores realistically, as does anybody else, bearing that they're still alive. But yeah, I mean, other than that, that's the first subpar score there for Necro. Everything else has been really solid, so let's look at originality. He gets a 9, and like I said, again, there's just no denying this. I mean, he was without a doubt one of a kind. Like I said, he just took... There are other people, Just Allah, Eminem. There are definitely people out there that have rapped about things that I sat there and was like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? You know what I'm saying? Like, but it was always on some, yo, this motherfucker's crazy. But I never thought that Eminem or Just Allah was actually out there like... Like, I'm not afraid of Eminem or Just Allah in a psychopathic sense. Like, I don't think that if I'm hanging out with Eminem and all of a sudden the room empties out, that Eminem is going to pull, like, a scalpel out of his back pocket and start laughing hysterical and, you know, dismember me by 1-inch squares. You understand what I'm saying? I don't really think that's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that I think Necro is going to do that either in like, real life, but he seems like that type of dude that might actually, like, debate it, where he might not have snapped and done it yet, but I really think, honestly, like, there might be something severely wrong with this dude, bro, and I'm telling you, if this dude went on some type of weird spree of, like, fucking animals and then, like, beheading little girls or something... I don't mean to be gruesome, bro, but I'm being serious with you. It wouldn't surprise me. I think this dude is mentally fucking deranged. And he's the first dude that I've come across in this study that I'm like bothered by this dude. Like genuinely, where I'm like, I really don't want to listen to this. I have no interest in hearing this. I don't care what this dude thinks about anything. And again, keep in mind that I told you guys, when I'm covering people, I'm listening to interviews and shit. I watched interviews and this dude, I don't like the way he talks about his fans. I don't fucking like anything about this guy at all. I just, and again, I don't want to go off on a tangent. I'm sure I made myself pretty clear. But there's no denying the fact of how different this dude is from everybody else in every fucking way, aside from maybe his image. And I don't want to say that his image is bitten or necessarily overly typical, but it's just not overly original. It doesn't match up to the level of originality that his flow, his voice, his delivery, his song topics, his content, his personalities, the things he says in interviews, the way that he talks, just everything about this dude, aside from really his image and the fact that I don't want to say like he took a lot from people, but there was enough there that I felt it kept him at a 9 rather than a 9.5, whether it was like samples or repeating lines or, you know, whatever it was, there was enough there. But again, I mean, you're talking about a 9. That's obviously a tremendous score. So Necro looks like he fucking hammered everything across the board. Now, I'm not saying that's a top 5 finish, but those numbers were obviously really solid aside from that impact score. So you add those 6 numbers up, 6 numbers because you got the extra point for the classic album. You divide by 5, which is the number of categories we have, and you have and it comes to a final rating of 5.65, which puts Necro in 35th place of 225 artists done overall. So this is, in all honesty, one of the most frustrating finishes that's come about in this entire study for me personally. This one's up there with where Lil' Kim finished, and shit, I don't even know. I'm not even sure what else this one is equivalent to, but this one is definitely up there. So I wanted Necro to finish last, but predicted he'd finish closer to like that 100 mark. Unfortunately for me, finished in 35th place, and I'm disgusted for more reasons than just being off with my prediction. I could tell you that much right now. But we're going to hop back to the bias thing here for a minute, because I can't get over how anyone even has a leg to stand on with this argument at all anymore after this, although it should have been pretty clear when I placed Queen Latifah ahead of Lil' Kim. But anyway, you know, I don't want to go off on that. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go listen to the Queen Latifah episode and then go listen to the Lil' Kim episode and you'll know what I'm talking about. But a couple of weeks ago, we covered 50 Cent, who I clearly stated was one of my favorite rappers of all time. He wound up in 67th place, which was both off from where I expected and definitely short of where I wanted him to finish. So I was already upset about where 50 finished. Here we have a dude who I not only predicted to finish further back than that, but who I absolutely hate and genuinely wished he wouldn't have even made the cut in this study. Like, literally, this dude is one of my top 5 to 10 most hated rappers of all time, hands down, and that's not even just out of the people in this study. If my quote-unquote bias is involved in this study, how does Necro, one of my most hated rappers of all time, finished 30 plus spots above 50 Cent, one of my favorite rappers of all time? Again, I'll tell you how. Because there's a mathematical system and everyone has run through it, and there's no bias involved in it, contrary to popular belief. But anyway, man, as much as it irks me to say this, I'm going to be a man here, look at things objectively, and give Necro his props, because he was pretty damn original, technically skilled, and finished very well, especially considering the just below average score in the impact department. So, not easy to finish this high with any below average scores in any department. So, again, shouts to Necro. Jesus. Alright, but now we can move on to Remedy, which means we get to start a new calendar year here in our hip-hop study, as Remedy had his debut album out in 2001. So first artist of a brand new year here. Let's start off with some background info here on Remedy, and then we'll discuss what we see. His birth name is Ross Filler, also known as Reuven Ben Menachem. Born November 4th, 1972 in Staten Island, New York, United States. His genres are listed as hip-hop. So like I said, you could just get used to this, but anytime someone is from Staten, I'm always going to go out of my way to point that out. Being that Wu-Tang and most of its parts had their releases in the 90s, we definitely had our fair share of Staten Island artists in the 90s, but none in the 2000s, and Remedy is the first rapper here in Season 3 to officially be from Staten Island, which, for those of you that don't know, is where I was born and raised for 33 years. As a matter of fact, I lived right next to the Wu-Tang wall for years. Was an honor to see that piece of art right outside my window every day for as long as I did. But anyway, nothing else there really about Remedy that needs to be discussed. So let's move into some additional background information for now. Remedy, born Ross Filler, aka Reuven Ben Menachem, in 1972 in Staten Island, New York, is a rapper and hip-hop producer. He is known for being the first non-black and the first Jewish rapper to be affiliated with the Wu-Tang Clan. He owns and runs Code Red Entertainment, his label that released Capadonna's The Struggle album in 2003. He also served as executive producer on Inspector Deck's album Manifesto in 2010. Remedy has produced and been featured on various works for ESPN. He is the co-executive producer of the Wu-Tang Killer Bees' The Return of the Swarm album. So, I will say this right off the bat. Of course I knew Remedy was affiliated with Wu-Tang, but I don't think I was quite aware of just how much behind-the-scenes stuff this guy was actually doing with executive producing people's albums and having his record labels put out Wu members' albums and things like that. So, props to Remedy for that. But other than that, I don't really think there's too much there that we need to talk about. So, let's hop into my breakdown of Remedy and then we'll look at the numbers. While I do remember hearing a Remedy song on a bonus Wu-Tang disc, that was about all I heard of him, ever. After studying him, there seemed to be a tale of two Remedies. Early on, while he did show the ability to use rhyme schemes and rhyme a lot of syllables in spots, he was never consistent with either. On top of that, he had just as many shortcuts, run-on bars, and times he didn't rhyme. While he did seem pretty good at keeping a topic, he was extremely repetitive about being white and being Jewish, especially considering the small catalog he presented. Then there was an 11-year gap of no music prior to his last album. On that last album, he was so much better than his priors that I questioned whether he was still writing his stuff. I couldn't find anything that insinuated otherwise, so for now, we have to assume that he just stepped his game up. All in all, it was too little too late, not quite enough to climb him past the average marker lyrically. Remedy only qualified 4 albums in total for scoring, and yet still recycled songs on those albums. 3 of his 4 albums were good, and the other one was average. Of his only 52 song total, he dropped 2 great songs, 2 weak ones, and another 11 good ones. Even though there isn't anything overly impressive about those scores, he was carried to a decent number of those by features, although on the flip side of that, he also had a lot of really bad features on some of his songs. For a dude to be co-signed by one of the biggest, most impactful hip-hop groups of all time and never really garner any type of traction as far as sales, success, or popularity is concerned, doesn't bode well for his impact score. On top of that, he didn't really have any clear visible influences on any other artist to date thus far. While Remedy certainly always seemed to remain true to who he was, there wasn't much else overly unique about him. On top of that, he took a lot of things from other artists before him and started to sound very similar to Ghostface Killah on his latest release. So this again sounds like one of those classic mediocre write-ups, and we've talked about this again and again. At this point in the study, that typically lands you near the bottom, so let's see what we officially got here for Remedy. Lyrics, he gets a 5. Like I said, I gotta bring up 2 separate things here. So early on, he was a 5/4.5. And it kind of stayed like that. Like, it would fluctuate. Maybe he'd be 5/5.5, then go back down to a 5, then 5/4.5. It fluctuated maybe 1 or 2 times throughout the course of his first album. And then after that, when his last album came, he was pretty consistently good on that album. But because he had been down near that /4.5, he really only was able to climb to a 5/5.5. So currently, yes, he is right on that border of getting that just above average score of a 5.5 lyrically. He just didn't do quite enough because that last album was only 1/4 of his entire catalog. So he couldn't just be above average on 1 out of 4 albums and me score him above average. So if he comes out with another one that's of the same caliber of that one, surely he's probably going to be moved up to a 5.5, at least, depending on how good he is on that album. On the flip side of that, if he comes out and he's the way that he was on the beginning of his stuff, he's probably going to just go back down to a flat 5 or a 5/4.5. So, you know, like I said, there were spots where he used some good rhyme schemes. There were spots where he rhymed a lot of syllables, but none of that was consistent. And aside from the last album, it was pretty much even with the amount of shortcuts and run-on bars or times that he didn't rhyme as it was for him using rhyme schemes or rhyming a lot of syllables. He was good at being able to keep a topic, and not that he had an overabundance of topical songs, but he did seem like he was pretty good at it when he rapped about a specific topic. So again, it's leaning towards that 5.5, but it's just not quite there yet. Albums, it gets a 4.21 with zero classics. Now, that does come out to be a good album score, as like I said, 3 out of his 4 albums were good albums. So, the other album, yes, it was average, but this is basically the opposite effect of what we just spoke about with the lyrics, right? Yes, you were better on that last album, but that was only 1 out of 4 of them. Yes, there was an album that was average, but it was only 1 out of 4 of them. So, he still winds up with a good album score, just doesn't get any extra points for any classic albums. Songs, he gets a 0. Like I said, he had 2 great songs, 2 weak songs, and it was just kind of ironic that he seemed to be carried to all of, I don't want to say all of that stuff, but he seemed to be carried to a decent number in both directions. I can't say that he wasn't pulled down to those weak songs by some of those features he had. Same way I can't say that he wasn't pulled up to some of those good or great songs by some of the features he had. So, very torn there with some of his features. Some of the guys were good and really helped him out a lot, and some of the guys were really bad and hurt what wasn't, you know, a great scenario to begin with. Not saying Remedy was bad on it, but if he was average and then somebody else was terrible on it, it was going to tear it right down to a 0, as opposed to maybe Remedy being good, them being bad, and it kind of evening each other out. You know, if Remedy was just at an even keel and a dude was terrible on a song, unfortunately, you know, that's Remedy's song, and Remedy's getting a weak song for that. But all in all, he winds up with a 0 in the songs department. Could be worse. He could have lost points, so he breaks even there. Impact, he gets a 4, and again, this is, you know, similar to what you see with these guys with the 4, the 4.5. Yes, he was affiliated with Wu-Tang. Yes, he's done songs with some Wu-Tang members and stuff like that, but, you know, you always have to keep in mind when somebody of that caliber or that, you know, quality impact like that, that has that type of effect on the hip-hop game, is fucking with you or cosigns you, yeah, there's a reason for it, so we got to give you credit for that. But there's also a reason why you're not getting any of the traction, the sales, the popularity, the success, whatever word you want to use. There has to be some sort of intangible there that's causing you to not succeed the way these other guys are. And it could be anything. It could just be less money invested, which is fucking stupid. But at the end of the day, that still counts for something. It's still not happening. Regardless of what the reason why it's not happening is, it's still not happening. So you have to score it as such. So, you know, all things kept in mind, he didn't have any artist names on his list of artists influenced there or anything like that. And, you know, no mainstream commercial success really with any of his albums or anything like that, despite the Wu-Tang cosign or, you know, whatever word you want to use. So, yeah, it's certainly close to a 4.5. And if he continues to come out with music, like I said, there was an 11-year gap where he didn't come out with anything. It seemed like Remedy was done. And then just in 2021, I think it was, he finally came out with something else. So, hey, should Remedy come out with more music and be a little bit more successful and maybe influence some artists or something like that? This certainly could go to a 4.5, no question. But right now it sits at a 4. And originality, he gets a just above average score of a 5.5. And honestly, that's mainly due to just the fact that Remedy did always seem to just be being himself. Now, that being said, he himself wasn't overly original, so he's only getting the 5.5. But the fact that you're yourself, I mean, that's all you could be, bro. If you're being yourself, you'll usually at least just get, you know, at the very least, a just above average score for at least just being yourself and not copying everything else that everybody's doing. So, you know, like I said, there really wasn't anything overly unique about Remedy, but he seemed to just remain true to himself. So he gets a just above average score of a 5.5 in the originality department there. So you add those 5 numbers up and you divide by 5, which is obviously the number of categories we have, and it gives you a final rating of 3.74, which leaves Remedy in a 3-way tie for 190th place of 225 artists done overall. So, as I predicted both in the intro to the episode and just after we read my breakdown, that's obviously not a solid finish there for Remedy, who winds up easily inside the bottom quarter, really worse overall here, and I want to talk about a couple of things. Number one, again, this finish does not necessarily make Remedy a bad rapper by any stretch of the imagination. A, he made the cut when some other artists didn't, And B, even though he's down near the bottom here, he still got an average score lyrically, and it was close to a 5.5. So certainly not bad stuff there for Remedy. Just didn't get the job done overall, which, like we said, it's hard to finish that high with a below average score in the Impact department or really any other department, and nothing else remarkable really to balance that out. But nonetheless, man, shout outs to Remedy for all he's accomplished in the hip hop scene, without a doubt, you know, doing his thing with Wu-Tang and stuff like that. You know, your success doesn't define you, at least not in my mind, bro. You don't have to be successful to have maybe lived out your dream or whatever the case is. So like I said, man, even though I'm not really personally a big fan, shout outs to Remedy, no doubt about it. So if you tuned in last week, you would have heard that we ran off all of our lists. So no list this week, but obviously we'll be running them off again at the end of this month. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you'd like to see any of those lists, they are all in writing on the Tale of the Tapes Facebook page. If you're interested, the Facebook page is www.facebook.com/Tale of the Tapes Podcast. You can just give the page a like and a follow to stay up to date with it. You can interact with the podcast. You could give some of your own ideas. You could give your own predictions, etc., things like that. You could also give the host website a visit at www.anchor.fm/Tale of the Tapes. Both of those links are spelled completely normally. On the host website, you'll see a support button. I obviously greatly appreciate anybody that hits that for me at any time, no matter what it costs. And that'll be all for today's episode. Next week, on episode 11, we'll be covering True Life and Rex. Tale of the Tapes. Peace.
Tale of the Tapes. Might as well.